It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than 3 times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,174. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are in the men's room. On tap today, we celebrate the kickoff of NFL football on a Bad Choice Friday. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Plus headlines, the men's room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV time with Ted.
Click clack.
All right, here we go. A man breaks into his ex-girlfriend's home by delivering himself in a box. Meanwhile, it turns out that wildfires in the U.S. might be set by exploding hawks. Never get in a restaurant when the meat crawls off your plate. One family of child with rare disease does something great. And a man who had 23 teeth removed says he now blends in on 3rd Avenue. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, a few weeks ago, there was a story about a 5-year-old kid who was on video driving a Lamborghini at 194 miles per hour. And it's crazy, but it's not as crazy as it could have been. You see, the kid was on a closed track, and his father was in the passenger seat. And his father, by the way, is a Turkish motorcycle racer. So it's kind of like bring your kid to work day. Hell, my kids have been on the air a few times because of me. They think it's awesome, makes the friends jealous. But to me, look, man, it's just another day at the office. But also, I limit how much they can do or say when they're here. You see, I don't want to get myself in trouble, you see. Well, a neurosurgeon in Austria probably should have adopted that thought process before he brought his 13-year-old daughter to work with him. It was all good until he let her drill a hole in a patient's skull during a brain operation. Turns out,
That's not a good idea. Who knew? But as parents, look, we really do want our kids to enjoy unique experiences or get a sense of independence, you know, like, I don't know, letting your kids fly alone for the first time. When I was 14, I got to fly from Baltimore to the Bahamas by myself. But then there's the story of a 6-year-old kid who was supposed to fly unaccompanied from Philadelphia to Fort Myers, Florida. Well, she did fly unaccompanied, but Spirit Airlines put her on the wrong flight. But don't worry, Spirit did apologize to the family. Water under the bridge. But look, man, when you're a little kid, maybe it's based on your parents' job. Maybe you moved around a lot. Who knows? But sometimes when you're a kid, you get to experience or do things that most people don't even get to do in your life because you're just a lucky or unlucky son of a bitch. But that's what today's question is. Today, we want to know, what did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people do not?
Be part of the Big Show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9. KISW.
Oh, but Charles, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,174. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. What a late night we had last night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Set up, coming up with some real creative tongue twisters for Ted. Lo and behold, a listener submitted Ted versus the FCC in the emails this morning.
Well, son of a bitch.
It's impressive you worked on stuff after that Ravens game.
Well, man, you know, we had to blow off a little steam.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, just, right. Yeah. It's a great game, but our team lost. And I'm like, you know what, Miles? Let's not get upset about this. Let's put this anger to work.
Right.
That's how we do, Ted.
But as you know, the listener always comes first. And Jesse sent us a Ted versus the FCC submission dealing with the one and only famous actor known as Channing Tatum.
Ah, okay.
Channing Tatum.
He'll be honored today.
He's nice. The subject matter of Ted versus the FCC. What else do we have for you? Some updated locations on Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing. Kind of a partial list at KISW.com. The beer is spreading much quicker than we thought it ever would.
That is correct.
Because you keep buying it, because it's a delicious beer. Mm-hmm. Black Raven makes a hell of a product, and we are excited to, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, give you a special announcement on some locations where you will be guaranteed to find the beer in your area. So as the distribution kind of expands, we made our way into Lumen for the Metallica show.
Mm-hmm.
We made our way into T-Mobile for the Mariners games.
Correct.
And the Journey concert the other night. So the beer's out there. Sometimes it's in a big, bright yellow can. Other times, just pick up the six-pack at your favorite grocer, convenience store, or on tap at your local bar. So we'll give you some updated locations on that. Also, a programming note, there's a brand new Men's Room Happy Hour out today.
Yeah.
Episode number 23. How do you get the Happy Hour? You subscribe to the daily podcast. It will be right there for you every Friday morning.
How do they subscribe, Miles?
You download the Odyssey app, Steve. It's absolutely free. Then from there, you search for the Men's Room. And when you get there, just hit the subscribe button and off you go. So if you missed the show, anyone listen over the weekend or whatever the deal is, you'll have them all right there, including the Appy Hour, which comes once a week on Friday morning. Oh, let's see what else. It is the weekend. Speaking of, we will drink a toast with a shot of the day that it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
And we celebrate the kickoff of NFL football on a Bad Choice Friday. Obviously, Steve and I are Ravens fans. Not the greatest way to start with a loss, but...
But not the worst way to lose.
No, you cannot be unhappy with what happened last night. If you're an NFL fan, you didn't have a horse in a race. You watched a great game.
Yeah, for sure.
Ravens lost by an inch or so, or the opportunity to tie and maybe take it to overtime or go for two and win.
We need receivers with smaller feet. That's what I determined.
Yeah.
I want you to wear a size 9 and nothing bigger.
But that was a great game last night.
What did Mahomes say?
Wear whites.
Yeah, wear white, bro.
No kidding. You live and you learn. So it is NFL football. We all love sports in here. So why not take one of the biggest hits from Huey Lewis in the News and their sports album, The Heart of Rock and Roll.
They say the heart of rock and roll is
how can you not like Huey Lewis?
But he also says, the heart of rock and roll is still beating. Mm-hmm. And then one line he goes, in Cleveland. Now, that is the only problem with this song. Is it really breathing in Cleveland?
It's for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. He wrote this before the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was
that
in Cleveland.
That is true.
What big band do you know from Cleveland?
That's what throws Detroit out there.
Well, Detroit's
got some. Bob Seger, Kid Rock, they've got some, you know.
Ted Nugent. Bone Thugs and Harmony, I think, are from Cleveland.
All right, okay, that's some rock and roll that's still beating right now. Huey Lewis in the News, a heart of rock and roll, taking on the one and only Viagra Boys.
Naked girls and naked boys do the dance down on the beach. Smoking dope, short shorts, cigarette.
Yeah. I hope to God this wins. I know it won't.
There is no chance.
Because when you put this up on Twitter, right? People only see Viagra Boys in sports.
Right.
They might not know the song.
Probably
but they
not.
Know Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do not want Huey Lewis in the News to win today for the first time. Because I love the Viagra Boys. I want sports to win, but I know
look,
nobody...
I'm listening to him. I'm still voting for Huey.
Okay. Yeah. Turn this up, Mike. You gotta like this.
Getting high in the morning. Not answering calls.
Yeah. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. We'll be the Viagra Boys in sports or Huey Lewis in the News and the heart of rock and roll.
I like how he connects things, you know, just like smoke dope every morning, volleyball.
Yes, exactly.
That's going to be a whooping.
I hope not, man. I am really putting. You know what, man? Maybe we can rig the voting somehow and get the Viagra Boys in there.
Hey, we don't rig voting, all right? Not what we do here.
Okay.
Did you learn nothing?
All right.
And honestly, on Twitter, they can see it.
That's a good point. The poll is up. If you follow us on Twitter, where you vote. So
it'd be hard to be like, the Viagra Boys won.
Yeah, no chance. So on our question today, we're going to talk about your youthful experiences. What makes them unique? Sometimes those are positive experiences. Other times, based on what you've gone through, they can be negative as well. Hopefully it all worked out in the end. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really realize anything different than what you know to be true of your family, where you live, situationally, if your parents are divorced or that, you know, they're separated and live in different places, if you have two Christmases or whatever the deal is. It is just what you know. And sometimes you get to do some pretty cool stuff. I know we're talking in the office. Ted, have you ever driven across the country?
No.
I have not either. Something
I've driven up and down extensively the Eastern Seaboard.
Mm-hmm. All right. Something I've always wanted to do is drive across the country.
But you're framing this wrong. I got to go across the country.
How many times?
Three times definitively, maybe four. I don't entirely remember, just based on the fact.
So you stayed in one place.
We were in Rochester, New York initially, and we had family in Los Angeles. So we would drive.
You couldn't almost drive any farther.
I mean, you really, unless
honestly,
we lived in Boston
or something.
Right. But I mean, we did about as far as you could go. And then when we got to Baltimore, there's still people on the West Coast, and we would drive. And I understand you might want to drive across the country, and I'm not against that idea now. However, as a kid, and this is, you know, pre-cell phones, pre-Game Boy, like, there's no entertainment, all right?
Right.
And you're a kid, and you're stuck in the back of a 1973 Pontiac Grand Am, which was brown, by the way, like this giant turd rolling down the road. Your parents, no chance you ever got to pick what was on the radio.
You
couldn't complain about anything, but, like, as a child, sitting in a car for 16 hours a day, 3 days in a row, it's just not something I enjoyed, man. Yeah. I hated it. Now, in retrospect, looking back and trying to remember all the things that I got to see along the way, cool. But most kids, at least when you're, and I'm talking like probably 6 to about 13 years old, what's the time frame we did this, hated it. Am I glad we did it now? Yes. At the time, absolutely, positively hated the experience. And anytime my father said, hey, we're going to see your Aunt Fran. Me and my brother desperately hoped that she was flying to Rochester, New York. And he's like, nope, we're going to go visit her.
Right.
And we knew for a fact there was zero chance we're getting on a plane. We are not going to make this short and sweet. I get it. It costs a lot of money. My dad packed up the car. And like fathers are, they're like, look, we're getting up at 4:30 a.m. We're in the car by 4:45. It's like, oh, my God. And it never changed. 4:30 in the morning, he's going to get up. Yeah, nope, don't complain. Do not complain. Get in the car. And so they were trying to appease us a little bit because you want your kids to try to get through this. And again, like I said, when you don't have video games to play and the music you're listening to, as my son describes it, he calls it grandmommy music where they don't sing. We know it better as jazz, but that is still what he calls it to this day.
Right, they don't sing.
When you're a kid, I enjoy jazz now.
Yeah.
But that's only in the last 12 years have I kind of turned the corner on that. As a kid, you know what I mean? Like, Kiss was my band, man. Mm-hmm. There's people putting out songs where people actually sing that you want to hear. That never freaking happened. And the only thing my mother would ever play where someone sang was Barbra Streisand. And I don't know the words to explain to you. Look, personally, I know nothing about the lady. I hate her. I hate her guts. I hate her top to bottom. So my parents would get us Mad Libs books, which were cool for about an hour. And that kind of runs its course. Or they made the mistake, and if you're a parent, you know better than this. They bought my brother a Knock Knock joke book.
Okay.
Well, the problem with that is if it's 50 pages and there's 10 jokes per page, we sat through 500 jokes until he was done. I swear to God, like every 2 minutes, Knock Knock. Like, oh my. And even as a kid, I'm like, dude, you've got to let it go. And all the jokes sucked.
Right.
But that was it.
Yeah.
And again, looking back, glad we did it. At the time, I wanted to take my own life. I hated it.
Right.
Hate it.
Even nowadays, I don't think I want to drive all the way across the country.
I would like to see
it depends on the company you have, right? If you're with them, you're going to get on each other's nerves, all that kind of stuff. That's inevitable. But also, as an adult, you make a choice about the things that you want to see. You know,
well, that's something else. You guys were basically, for lack of a better term, doing a rally.
You want to take your time.
I'm not in a hurry. If I'm going to drive across the country, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take my time. It's not going to be a 13-hour day, a 14-hour day. 13? Whatever, however long you're
16 down. At the least. 16?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You hate it. So they would take us places like, hey, we're going to go see the Great Salt Lake. So we saw the Great Salt Lake. And for my brother and I, we're like, it looks like water. And keep in mind, at the time, we lived on Lake Ontario. Like, we live on a great lake. Like, we can look out the window. Well, got to look through the trees a little bit, but we live on a lake. Showing me a lake, not exciting. Our neighbor, not quite a neighbor, but live. It's an intersection of three roads, and the property they had, the guy was a farmer. They had cows. So we get somewhere like Kansas, and my mom's like, hey, guys, look at all the cattle. We're like, again, I go walk down the driveway, look across the street, and see that old man's cows every freaking day. There's nothing here that you can do to make us feel better. Mom, we hate the trip. Yep. There are no words. We want to stab ourselves or stab you or stab somebody, man. Don't tell us about cows. Don't tell us about freaking water.
16 hours at the least?
At the least.
You guys leave at 6 a.m. and you're done at 10? Like, what were those hours?
Yeah, basically.
That's insane.
How my father... I mean, keep in mind, he didn't have GPS back then. And that's the other thing. You had to fold up maps. Not even the road atlas. The road atlas. It was the fold up maps. And my father... he'd have my brother kind of help direct, you know, on these highways. And he was pretty good at it. The problem was, once we established a destination and the route we're going to take, we now have to fold the map back up correctly. And I don't know what it is about fathers.
Oh, you can't do that.
It is impossible for a child to fold a map back, right? And he would lose. I mean, he's driving, but God damn it. Why is it so hard to fold up the map? And all we can think is like, look, everybody hates this road trip. You're the one who keeps telling us to look at the map, yet no, we're not going to fold it up right. We tried to fold it up right, and because we tried it 15 times, now you're mad that the creases are ripping, so you can't sell this part of the highway.
Like, mind
why are we doing this?
I think those maps are impossible to fold back correctly.
It is, man, look, I had a better chance of solving a Rubik's Cube than folding up one of these goddamn maps together.
I think 8 hours is my limit.
Right now.
I'm just done. Bro. I'm just done. I don't want to drive
16
anymore.
Hours.
I understand that, but
that's why I'm saying you frame this cross-country trip stuff wrong.
Hurry.
I got to do it, but it's not that I got to do it. I had to do it. And yes, if I did a cross-country trip now, maybe 8 hours. I would eat what I want to eat. We would stop where we want to stop. I would not stop to look at a lake that looks like the frickin' lake that we already live on. I don't care about your goddamn cows. I just want to get to point A to point B. But yes, if I wanted to see something that caught my eye on the highway, I'd gladly stop there. Just this was not that situation.
Right.
This was not like that.
I had a history teacher, and he was involved in the West Virginia Republican government to some extent. So he was a full-time history teacher, but he was involved in politics.
All right.
So, you know, in his off time, that was what he was interested in. And Ronald Reagan was coming to town to do a speech as he was running for president of the United States. Now, at the time, we understood how, you know, elections worked, how the presidential two candidates were going to go up against each other. Ronald Reagan was not the president.
Correct.
We did not know that Ronald Reagan was going to win the presidency, but he is speaking, and because of my teacher's position.
What did you know him at? Was he just some old man who said he wants to be president? At the time,
Everyone who was older than us knew him as an actor.
Sure, sure.
But as a child, you don't know who
you don't know that.
He is just the Republican nominee for the president of the United States. And the teacher said, look, we're going to take a field trip. If you want to go, you do not have to go. You can sit in the class. You can do your independent studies if you want. I will not be here, or you can go and take this field trip and go see the speech. So, I mean, obviously, the entire class said, we are going.
We're going.
So we had two or three classes. We got in a school bus, and we went down there. And that was the first time that I'd ever been through an X-ray machine, so to speak.
Okay, yeah.
Because you had to walk in through the field house, and they, you know, zapped you, made sure you weren't no metal or any of that crap, which is pretty cool. And I'm like, all right, well, the place was decorated with flags, and Ronald Reagan takes the stage, starts talking, and it was very, actually, for even as a kid, it was an interesting speech. I'm standing 5 feet away from Sam Donaldson. I cannot, from ABC News.
Then you start his eyebrows.
I cannot believe this. You know, this is just a crazy.
Right.
Ted Koppel's there. I cannot believe it. You know, like all these people that I see on television.
It's mind-blowing when you're a kid.
Yeah, because these are dad and mom's programs, but I know who that is.
Yeah, I know exactly who
I know, because they watch the news every night. I know exactly who that guy is. And it was just, you know, looking back at it now, and then he won the presidency, but to go and watch a president speak in person where I was seriously, I mean, they put the kids up front.
Oh, of course.
We were literally 25, 30 feet away from him as he gave the speech. And he was funny, and it was cool, and we got the day off of school.
That's most important.
And then you go back to school, and you're like, yeah, whatever. But, you know, looking back now.
Sure.
I've never seen a president speak live since then. Not in person. I've never had that experience before. A couple more real quick. My grandfather, he was a Navy soldier.
Seaman?
Seaman, yeah. He was in the South Pacific, and he was on a minesweeper. And at one point in time, Bob Hope came, and he did stand-up for him and
nice.
Brought some, like, hot celebrities as he did his USO tours and all that stuff. And my grandfather got a chance to see him do his routine.
Yeah.
He did it on base. So Bob Hope was down in Florida. We were down there on vacation doing a stand-up. So I was 5 or 6 years old, and my grandfather took me to see Bob Hope. So that was the first comedy show I'd ever seen. And a lot of his jokes were, you know, were relatable to a six-year-old kid. And I guess the other weird one I never really think about, I got to meet Ray Charles when I was 16 years old.
Will he remember you?
No.
What was he doing in West Virginia?
He was playing a show, and I was working there as like one of the stagehands, and I was working for a radio station. But it was Ray Charles.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray Charles shook my hand, you know?
He didn't know it.
Well, he doesn't know that, but yes.
He probably could tell it was a child's hand.
Why are you so tiny?
Small little.
Who's this tiny man talking to me?
But he had the soul patch, you know? Had the sunglasses on. Freaking Ray Charles. What did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people do not? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question on the So-So Positive Friday, what did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Angel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
So, first of all, I want to tell Ted, when I called originally, I was at his favorite rest stop in southern Washington doing kickstand.
Oh, nice. Down there at Battleground, huh?
Battleground, yeah. Anyway, you know, I just wanted to call and tell you. Yeah, I remember that story. You guys are amazing. I love Mike. I love Ted. I love all you guys. You're amazing. I live in Santa Cruz, California, and I listen to you guys on the Odyssey app.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks for playing the logo. Anyway, my dad's a truck driver, and I didn't get to meet him until I was like 12 years old. But when I did meet him, he taught me how to drive a 1980 Peterbilt cab over with a 13-speed and back a 48-foot trailer into a loading dock when I was 12 years old.
Wow. How long did it take for you to be able to do that comfortably?
Well, I screwed up a few times, you know, being 12 years old. You're an idiot, you know, obviously. But, no, by the end of the summer, it took like 3 months, and, like, he would just walk into the place and go back into dock number three, and I would open up the doors and get it all backed in. And certain places, he would let me drive out. It was on private property. I got to run through the gears a little bit. And honestly, since the statute of limitations is over, he actually let me run the thing up Highway 99 from Bakersfield to Sacramento one night when I was 12 years old, and he fell asleep while I was driving.
Damn. He probably needed a nap.
Were you comfortable while you were doing it?
I was not, actually, because I almost took the thing out the side of the road one time, and I didn't know how to get the speed right and all that kind of stuff. But, like, my dad had been working for, you know, 15, 18 hours, so he put me in the driver's seat and wanted to keep an eye on me. He couldn't do it and just fell asleep.
What do you do now for a living?
I drive a truck for a living.
All right. All right. See, it all worked out.
Do you think that's the moment where you realize, like, hey, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, the moment when I realized I wanted to do that was when I was 5 years old, and there was a picture of my grandpa drove a Peterbilt when I was a baby, and there was a picture of me in a diaper sitting in the driver's seat of a Peterbilt when I was, like, you know, I don't know, 8 months old or something like that.
Right.
And when I saw that picture, I thought that's what I'm bound to do.
Do you do long haul stuff?
You know, I didn't do a whole lot of, like, cross country stuff, but what I did do was when I got really involved with you guys, I was hauling this is great. I was hauling hops out of Eastern Washington and delivering them to all the breweries down in California, like Lagunitas
and
and Anderson, you know, all those guys.
In other words, you're doing God's work.
Did a cop ever pull you over and think you were hauling weed?
You know, hops and weed are very similar, and the funny thing is when you go into California, you have to go through that check-in where they ask you if you're hauling any fruit or whatever, and I would always say hops. And they would hand him the paperwork, and they would just, like,
truck driver mouth.
Talks like a trucker.
Say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
It seems like
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question on the So-So Positive Friday, what did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angel. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hola.
So, first of all, I want to tell Ted, when I called originally, I was at his favorite rest stop in southern Washington doing kickstand.
Oh, nice. Down there at Battleground, huh?
Battleground, yeah. Anyway, you know, I just wanted to call and tell you. Yeah, I remember that story.
You guys are amazing. I love Mike. I love Ted. I love all you guys. You're amazing. I live in Santa Cruz, California, and I listen to you guys on the Odyssey app.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for playing the logo. Anyway, my dad's a truck driver, and I didn't get to meet him until I was like 12 years old. But when I did meet him, he taught me how to drive a 1980 Peterbilt cab over with a 13-speed and back a 48-foot trailer into a loading dock when I was 12 years old.
Wow. How long did it take for you to be able to do that comfortably?
Well, I screwed up a few times, you know, being 12 years old, you're an idiot, you know, obviously. But, no, by the end of the summer, it took like 3 months, and, like, he would just walk into the place and go back into dock number three, and I would open up the doors and get it all backed in, and in certain places, he would let me drive out. It was on private property. I got to run through the gears a little bit, and, honestly, since the statute of limitations is over, he actually let me run the thing up Highway 99 from Bakersfield to Sacramento one night when I was 12 years old, and he fell asleep while I was driving.
Damn,
he probably needed a nap.
Were you comfortable while you were doing it?
I was not, actually, because I almost took the thing out the side of the road one time. And I didn't know how to get the speed right and all that kind of stuff. But, like, my dad had been working for, you know, 15, 18 hours. So he put me in the driver's seat and wanted to keep an eye on me. He couldn't do it and just fell asleep.
What do you do now for a living?
I drive a truck for a living.
All right. All right. See, it all worked out.
Do you think that's the moment where you realize, like, hey, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, the moment when I realized I wanted to do that was when I was 5 years old, and there was a picture of my grandpa drove a Peterbilt when I was a baby, and there was a picture of me in a diaper sitting in the driver's seat of a Peterbilt when I was, like, you know, I don't know, 8 months old or something like that.
All right.
And when I saw that picture, I thought that's what I'm bound to do.
Do you long haul stuff?
You know, I didn't do a whole lot of, like, cross country stuff, but what I did do was when I got really involved with you guys, I was hauling this is great. I was hauling hops out of Eastern Washington and delivering them to all the breweries down in California, like Lagunitas and Nevada and Anderson. You know, all those guys.
So in other words, you're doing God's work.
Did a cop ever pull you over and think you were hauling weed?
You know, hops and weed are very similar. And the funny thing is when you go into California, you have to go through that check-in where they ask you if you're hauling any fruit or whatever. And I would always say hops. And they would hand them the paperwork, and they would just, like,
Once truck again, driver mouse.
Here are the seven words
talks like
you
a
can't
trucker.
Say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
That seems like a natural place to put a little package
of
weed in there.
You know? I promised Mike I wouldn't swear. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You got a little caught up. Yeah, I mean. I would think, though, too, when you're doing it commercially, you don't want... That would just ruin the hops, right? If you had weed mixed in with it?
Probably. I'm sure you would get a call probably from the breweries like, hey,
I'm just talking about putting a package in the middle of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure I would do that.
Yeah, like the Raiders.
Well, Drew, your neighbor always had hops around. What do they smell like? I don't know if I've ever held up, like, fresh hops.
You can tell that hops and weed are related. It doesn't quite I know they smell like
the
weed, but when you smell it, you go like, oh, I can see like they're cousins or something. You know what I mean?
All right.
But the thing is, you know, when you first look at it, it looked like he just had a mountain of weed. And this particular neighbor, you would not be shocked if that's the case. But he's like, oh, no, man, these are hops. I'm like, oh, okay, my bad.
That's
I
cool.
thought we were about to smoke. Cool thing about this neighbor.
Does he brew his own beer?
He brews his own beer. And when I would get home from work, like probably once every 2 months, there was like a 6-pack of his home bottled stuff sitting on the doorstep. Came home one time, there were a bag of 36 ribs just hanging on because he had his smoker. Right?
Does he have a job?
All right. He did. He worked at Boeing. Okay. And then
so he's retired and just doing the hobby thing.
He retired about 2 years after we met him. And so, but he's a guy that just has gadgets and all this kind of thing in his backyard. But he would smoke food all the time, make beer, you name it. But you would come home and there's just like a bag of goods waiting for you.
What did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Parker. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I was playing youth football, and we had the best team in the league. We're like 10 games probably undefeated or something. Actually, no one had even scored on us. But so we got the opportunity to play a scrimmage. I was on the Oak Harbor youth football team, and we got the opportunity to play a scrimmage against Mount Vernon on I think it was Quest Field at the time.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was before the Seahawks played the Chiefs, and so we played our scrimmage, and then we got to watch them warm up and stuff, and they actually, like, they showed highlights of our scrimmage on the Jumbotron during halftime. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that is pretty awesome. Cool, man.
What did you what did you think of the experience of playing on turf?
Was that the
first time, or did you play at schools that had artificial turf before that?
No, we'd only played on grass fields before that. I don't think I had any highlights. Maybe like my coach yelling at me because it was my first year. But
the highlights, you know, like I played on it once in high school, and you don't realize how the timing changes just based on the speed of play.
Sure.
So until you've done that, and, you know, it took at least a quarter for a learning curve for timing routes and all those different things, because everybody was just a step or two faster. And I never played football in basketball shoes. That was the other thing. We played in high-top basketball shoes.
It's very, yeah. And back then, it was all AstroTurf.
Yeah.
So it was like also OmniTurf, I think they called it.
Yeah, like when you hit your face mask, like, you know, like you're tackling somebody, you go against the ground, and all that crap would fly up into your face.
Yeah. Yeah. And it used to be sand. Before they did the rubber pellets from tires.
I still don't know why they think that's a good idea. But
I mean, at least those fields, though, are somewhat softer.
They are softer.
But, like, the original ones, like, I remember the first time I was on, I was shocked how hard it was. Because grow up seeing, like, NFL players on turf, and you're like, well, it must be okay.
And it's not.
Yeah, then you play on it. That, and I remember, like, DeMatha, for, like, freshman football, we had a field that was basically just dirt.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, rocks. It was awful.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The kids, when my son was playing soccer, they almost preferred the dirt and rocks over the turf for the same reason you're saying, because there was practice on grass. And they're like, we'd show up at wherever it is you're playing soccer this week, right? And they'd all look, and they're like, it's turf. And they knew they were faster, but like you said, it just changed the timing of everything they did in practice.
Right.
Also, when you're playing on turf, it changes the way...
I was going to say, soccer is especially tough, too.
Because you're running the whole time.
Well, no, just the ball rolls different.
It does.
So, like, the way you would weight a pass generally to somebody, like, streaming up the side...
Yeah.
Like, you might overshoot it because it just goes that much
faster. It just goes, man, yeah.
And when you think of wearing cleats... They're more designed to form fit your foot, and they're shaped a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Where if you have soccer shoes for turf, like Diodoras or something, they have a big rubber bottom around them, and it changes the way you connect with the ball.
Correct.
Because you cannot, it's more difficult to get under the ball. So it's almost like you're hitting more line screamers than you are being able to get under the ball if you want to hit a cut float pass to someone. It's tough to make that, you know, that pass. Because sometimes you just hit a knuckleball.
Okay, they let us know.
Your foot.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry that you have to play on turf. Man, when I was growing up, nobody had turf.
No.
The NFL had turf, maybe baseball had turf, but like no school that I could think of had turf.
It's pouring down rain and there's no footing. Instead of just the inconvenience of playing in rain, now the field's a mess. You're slipping everywhere. There's no speed involved in the game. There's fumbles. God, I hated that. Oh, what did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, look, I'll stand by this. I fathom cost and everything, but like, if you could play sports on grass, play them on grass.
Sure.
My kid has a soccer game. Oh, Christ. Tomorrow at 9:30. Don't know if it's turf or grass, but I feel like most of the games that they play in this town are on turf. Almost everyone practices on grass. There's one super rich school where... These kids played, I can't remember what school it was, but I was like, my God, this place looks like a college university, right? A college campus, sorry. But it's like, oh, no, this is a K-8 school. I don't know how much money these people have to go to the school, but like, they're like four fields to choose from, all of them turf, perfectly lined. Our kids hated it.
What did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK.
I will say, like, I went to private Catholic school my whole life. But it is funny, like, DeMatha, while a super famous school, it's not nearly as much money as some of the other schools in the area.
Yeah.
So I remember there's one school, and this Georgetown Prep is one of those schools where kids move there and stay there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had a 9-hole golf course on their campus.
Good God, man.
Yes.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
In the middle of D.C.?
It's out in Montgomery County.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, still.
I mean, when I played JV golf one year, that's where we had our tournaments. Every Saturday was at their high school.
Damn. Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Hola.
I'm doing good, John. Thanks.
Hola. Hey, same thing kind of as the other guy. Youth football. We were as the China Clipper Dragons out of Olympia. And fourth grade, we got to play in the Kingdom. I'm dating myself, obviously. And I was a fullback and scored a touchdown.
How nice. How much better does it feel knowing that you scored a touchdown, but you did it at the Kingdom?
It was pretty killer, especially in fourth grade. And that was my deal. That was my jam back in the day.
And so. Okay, when you made it in the end zone, was the Seahawks logo or the name of the team written in the end zone?
Yeah, that was, they had the big, you know, said Seahawks with the old school helmets.
Right, well, because that was the only thing basically they did in there, other than baseball. I mean, I know they played baseball, but they take that out. But during the year, it's like the times I've been down on Lumen Field, they did not have that in the end zone. Because either soccer season was going on or whatever the deal was. But I was just like that feeling of seeing the NFL team logo when you're out on the field.
It was amazing to me. And then same thing, it was before the game, but we got to stay and watch the game on the field level. And then we actually got to play again in sixth grade, and I was a quarterback then, and completed a pass to my best buddy, who's still my best buddy.
That's awesome.
Wait, did he get a touchdown, or you just completed a pass?
No, just completed a pass. Well, it's more of a highlight for him that he caught a pass.
Okay.
I see what you're saying there.
I had a weird
occurrence just. Not as a child, but just as far as getting onto the field and being able to do something. Mike McCready does a charity flag football thing every year. And a couple of years, I was invited to do that. So at one point, I was on Walter Jones's team.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter Jones played quarterback for probably half the game.
All right.
So I caught a touchdown pass from Walter Jones.
How cool does that feel?
And then the second half, I caught a touchdown pass from Kenny Mayne from ESPN.
That dude can throw a ball.
Oh, yes, he can.
Kenny Mayne can throw that.
Yeah. I just thought to myself when I walked up there, I was like, damn, Walter Jones.
Yeah, I mean, how cool
Kenny
is that?
Kenny Mayne, that's all right, man. I got two touchdowns.
And you're a grown-ass man. And it's still there. That's pretty cool.
I'm a kid that day.
Yeah, you know the basketball game at basketball camps, knockout?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, all the kids line up at the foul line, right?
Right.
So, Miles, let's say you're behind me. I shoot. If it goes in, like if I miss it and you put yours in before I can rebound and get mine in, then I'm knocked out.
All right.
So it's just a fun game. We would do it all the time at Coach Wooten's camp. Anyhow, my claim to fame is I knocked out and won, beat Danny Ferry once.
Oh, Danny Ferry, you played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Did you go to Duke?
He went to Duke, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I forgive him for that.
Yeah, right. Does that make
it better?
Yeah. What's that?
Does it make it better that he went to Duke?
This will sound really strange. Is Danny Ferry also a DeMatha guy?
Yeah.
But he just was that good. And like when he went to Duke and everything, but I'm kind of his arch nemesis. Like even at Coach Wooten's wake, like later on, we had to do other contests, if you will.
Okay.
In a closed bar.
Oh.
And it's just like, if he sees me, he'll be like, Teddy, what are we doing? Are we betting on this? What are we like?
That's crazy.
I don't know how to explain.
Okay, so he's your guy.
That's just our that's like our relationship.
Game on.
Yeah.
What? That's wild.
Well, he also put 100 once on top of an exit sign, and I couldn't get it.
Oh. How many times did you try?
5.
And it just never.
No, not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, just touch it.
Oh.
Still couldn't get it.
What did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people don't? 206-803-ROCK.
Maybe he's my arch nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola.
Hola. First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate it. All right.
My thing I got to experience as a kid growing up was my dad being in the Navy and me being a little military brat. Opportunity arose for me to do what's called a Tiger Cruise. And that pretty much means like he's out to sea and they're coming back from deployment. I flew out to Hawaii from Washington here, met them there and cruised back on the aircraft carrier back to the States. While out there, they towed targets behind the ship, dropped bombs on them with the airplanes, did air shows, and got to run around the ship and be a little rebel.
That's awesome.
That does sound fun.
Do you remember the aircraft carrier?
Yeah, it was the USS Carl Vinson.
Okay. And how long does it take for the aircraft carrier to get from Hawaii back to Washington State?
Well, the whole trip was 2 weeks, and it was from Hawaii to San Diego, I believe, California, and then they docked there, and then we headed back up here to Washington.
Now, was there any cool stuff you got to do while you're on the ship? I mean, other than watching them do the air shows and all that, but did you get to do anything fun?
Absolutely. Well, they have tours set up, and, you dad goes off to work, and you go meet up with whoever to go on these tours, and I don't know, I was not with the whole tour thing and got bored, so I would actually, like, kind of trail off towards the back and then take a right and go on my own little way and venture around the ship, go exploring, and got myself in trouble, like, spying on, like, people putting the codes to the coded doors.
Yeah, I can see. They get a little upset about that kind of thing. Yeah.
Did they have a basketball hoop in the hangar below the deck?
Oh, no, they got full basketball court. They got full gyms. It's like like they say, it's a city on water.
It is
crazy.
Yeah, I've taken a couple tours of that. I was like, basketball courts. This is all right, man. The USS Saratoga had two of them. I was like, this is cool. And then a big ass plane right beside it. You know,
what's the other one? It's Saratoga, the one you go to in San Diego.
That was in Jacksonville. Midway.
Midway. All right.
But that was decommissioned. The one I was active, so you could actually.
Oh, all right.
Well, I've been on both. One decommissioned, one.
I've only been on the old decommissioned ones, because I want to say once, I think I was on one in Charleston, maybe?
That makes sense.
It's cool, man. Yeah. You cannot believe how big they are. You cannot believe when you're on the deck and you're looking over how far it is down.
Down, yeah.
It's like. Well, remember, in Baltimore for a while, there was an old submarine.
It's still there, the Torsk, I believe.
That was always just shocking.
And
that was always just shocking. Like, people live on this thing?
Yeah, I got on there maybe two or three times. I mean, it'd be like going to the waterfront here in Seattle. Like, it's right there. And I made a determination at a young age, I don't want to be on a submarine, man.
No, U-boat either. I was on a German U-boat. That is crazy. Because it still smells like diesel, because the whole thing was diesel-fired. Right. You see, where people slept, they shared cots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like...
And they're not very big.
There's one toilet. There's one toilet for 90 guys. I mean, it was just like, how in the... I cannot believe people just didn't go insane just serving on that ship.
Yeah, Thrill, I'm not sure, but I would say even if you enlisted in the Navy at 18, at your height, that there's no chance they were putting you on a sub.
Yeah, I couldn't be a pilot. No. I couldn't get on a sub.
What did you get to do or experience as a kid that most people do not? 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.